Genesis 2 and verse 9. Now let's go through the alphabet also. And I'm going to write a couple of things up here on the board. And see if you can recognize these little things. Okay. All right. The Hebrew alphabet, not the Greek alphabet. Aleph. Beth. Gamel. Daleth. Hey. Ba. Zion. Teth. Teth. Yod. Kof. Lamet. Mem. Neen. Samek. Ayin. Pei. Sahi. Kof. Resh. Sin. Shin. Tau. All right. And it's in the front of your little book here. And you want to look at that. All right. What is this? That's Aleph. All right. What is this? Huh? What is this word? Et. What is that in what's the Greek equivalent? Ace. Sign of direct copy. Page 119, page 84, and Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and page 119.
Which letter is that first one on top?
Aleph and Tau. It's Et. Sign of direct copy. You're going to see this a whole lot.
Where is it down here? C-H-E-T. Is it Vince?
What?
Vince? C-H-E-T-A? No, it's down the bottom.
Yeah. Just Aleph and Tau. That's the first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet. All right. Now, this is what? That's a mem. All right. All right. Mem. So we see some of this. We see a little bit of it. You get kind of used to it. If I wrote this word up here, what had I written?
Elohim.
Elohim. All right. What about this word?
Jehovah.
Jehovah. All right. These are common words now, okay? Common words. If I wrote this one down here like that, what would that mean? Call. Remember? All and call. Call includes all. Call is all. All right? Call is all. All right. So we got a few things up here. These are common words that we're going to see over and over again.
English doesn't have the sign of direct copy.
No. No. Nothing. Nothing. We don't know. We've got an object and a subject in English. That's just about the sum total of all of it. Okay? This is just a little bit. Now we're going to study about the tree of life tonight in a couple of minutes. All right? We're going to study about the tree of life. All right. Now let's read. Let's read this verse, 2 and verse 9. Vayatzmach. Okay. That's 2 and verse 9. That first word, it starts from the right and goes left. All right. But if you want to write this down, you can. Vayatzmach. And then we have the word that's unpronounceable, Jehovah. Okay? See that one right there? That's the word Jehovah right there. And it's just, there's no way you can say Hashem, Hadabar, the word, the name, whatever, you know, but we don't know how to say that word. We pronounce it Jehovah, but it really, there's no way to pronounce it. This is the word, okay? And then what's the next word there?
Elohim.
All right, see, that's getting better. And then we run over here and we see this mem. And where's it? There it is. This is it. See that? That's an N. That's a neen right there. That's an N. Men. All right. Men. Men. Uh-huh. And then ha-adama is the next word. Ha-adama. And then call. Remember I told you about call? Call. Etz. Etz. And nekmad. La mare. Okay. And then we have vitov. Vitov. All right. Le ma chol. Le ma chol.
I don't know where you're
Okay, we're at the second. We're on the very last word.
On the right.
Right on. Yeah, right at the bottom. Right to the right. Le ma kol. Okay, and then vx. And then ha chayim. Okay, ha chayim. Now there's the tree of life right there. See that? Vx ha chayim, the tree of lives. Okay, and then b on the next page. Bet Tobek on the next one, 29B. And then Hog, gone. Gone is garden. All right. Ha, it means the garden. And Vietz. Had Da'at. Tov Vara. Vara. Now let's go back and look at these. What? Etz. We're going to go back and look at it real good. Okay? All right. And he kept on causing to sprout Jehovah Elohim from, all right, that word man there, from the ground or the earth, ha-adama, remember? Everything in this earth is related to us. All the Indians, you know, they had to, we are related to our mother earth, is what they used to say. Our mother earth. Everything comes from her. Okay? And that's exactly what it says here in the Hebrew. So much of that is brought, and it came from the before God divided the earth. That's how come they knew what they knew. Okay? And then we have the word call, and that means every or all. Okay? And then etz, tree. Look at that word etz right there. Etz, call, and then etz. Every tree. All right?
Can you say
etz? Etz. E-T-Z. E-T-Z. Etz. If you want to write that down, now as you write these things down as we do this, it comes by Yatzma, and then the word Jehovah, Elohim, and then man, and then Ha-Adama, and then call, and then Etz, Nekmod, okay? All right, every tree desirable. Look at that now. Desirable trees. What does the desirable mean? It's something that once somebody wants to look upon. I remember one time a friend of mine came into the house when I lived over east of Bakersfield there, and on the middle of my table was some beautiful red persimmons. All right? And he came in there, and he was always hungry. This Larry was always hungry. And he walked in the house. He was a teenage boy. He'd probably eaten two hamburgers at Big Mac's before he got there. But then he'd come and eat at my house again. And he came in there, and first thing he did, his eyes lit upon the fruit on the table. And he said, "Can I have one of those?" I said, "Sure, have at it." He picked it up and stuck it in his mouth and bit into it, and then his face turned inside out. It was a persimmon. It looked really good, but it wasn't quite ripe yet. That's the last time he did that. All right. That's desirable, that looks upon, beautiful. All right? And it's a horaon is what it would be in Greek. Okay? Horaon. That which you looked upon. Okay? And then we have the word for appearance. For appearance, lechma re. Lechma re. For appearance. That means for vision. Okay? Horasin is the Greek equivalent, and then vitov. V is the and. All right, v or we. In biblical Greek, it's we. And in modern Greek, it's ve. All right, and then tov. That word tov there. That's a funny looking. That, remember what the tov, that one is? All right? Huh? Remember that? Huh? The snake. Tov. All right. Be tov. And good. All right. And good. Okay, it was a good for appearance. For food. All right. There's every tree that looks good and it has fruit on it. This is all of these trees just like bore fruit all the year long. Now, how many of you have ever seen a fig tree? How many crops does a fig tree put out a year?
Four.
Huh?
Four.
three or four sometimes. Different crop, just one after another. You know what? That goes back to the garden. These trees just give one crop after another, just like continually bearing at this time, all right? And all of this was good for food. La mech kol, all right? Good for food, all right? Brosen is what's in the Septuagint. And then V.S. and the tree, ha chayim, the tree of lives, okay? How many of you ever heard a sermon on the tree of lives? I haven't either. We're going to do it tonight. All right, we're going to do one on the tree of life. All right? And then Bet Tobach. And that means in the middle. Beh, that's B. That means in. All right? Bet Tobach. All right? In the middle, Ha Gan. All right? Ha is the and Ha Gan. That's the garden. The gone, okay? And then it says, V.S., and the tree, this is the tree here that's dangerous. This is the dangerous tree now, all right? And the tree, ha-da-ot, the knowing, all right? Good and tov-vara, okay? Tovara, good and evil. Kalo and poneru is what it says in the Septuagint. Poneru, what's the word pornography comes from? Poneru, remember? Evil, practiced evil, polished evil, okay? Knowing good and evil. Now let's look at some places in the Bible. Proverbs 3:18. Psalm 1. Revelation 22:17-21, Ezekiel 47, Ezra 4:51-52, Enoch 1:24-25. These are all things. It says in the Septuagint here, it said, Brosen, Zulon, Tais, Zoes. All right? The tree of life. The tree of life. It should be the tree of lives. All right? The tree of lives. Now, look at your little chart here. This little thing I handed out to you, okay? I'm going to put this up here. I'm going to use the book. It's better. All right. In the book, that's what it looks like in the book. All right. Put that up on the camera for one moment so the people out there can see that, so they can see that tree. The writing doesn't matter at all. It's the tree that I wanted you to see. All right? Now, I'm going to read you something. In this archaeological study Bible, on page 2075, it tells you a little bit about this. The tree of life in Jewish imagery, okay? The tree of life. Let's look and see what it says. Revelation 22, the tree of life in Revelation 22 depicts the healing of humanity from the effects of the fall. Okay? Evidently, the tree of life was supposed to sustain eternal life, okay, forever in the garden, all right? The most terrible effect being death itself. This image is found elsewhere in the Bible and is widely appropriated in early Jewish religious language and art. The tree of life in Genesis 2 and 3 represents eternal life that humanity lost in the fall. In Ezekiel 47, trees with healing fruit grew alongside the river that flowed from the temple in the kingdom of God. Okay? The menorah, the lampstand, all right? The lampstand, as we see it over here, I don't think I can turn this around, but in here is the menorah, the lampstand. The lampstand is a little, it is a miniature tree of life. Okay? It's a miniature tree of life. That's what the lampstand is, that stands in the Temple of Solomon and in the tabernacle, okay? The lampstand place in the temple may have been an abstract representation of the tree of life. In biblical wisdom texts, such as Psalm 1, the righteous are compared to a tree planted by the rivers of water, and in Proverbs 3:18 it says, Wisdom is described as a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Okay? All of this is the tree of life. Outside the Bible, Jewish sources abound with reference to the tree of life. Trees appear regularly in Jewish artwork, and they are especially common in funerary things. In this context, almost certainly representing the tree of life as a symbol of immortality. Okay? Tree of life was common in early Jewish religious literature. A text called the Targum Neophiti says, the law is the tree of life to all who study it, in it, and those who guard its commandments will live and rise up like the tree of life in the world to come. Ezra 51 and 52, Ezra is told that God will open paradise for the righteous. It is for them that the tree of life was planted. Now, God guarded the tree of life in the garden, didn't he? We're going to find that later on. In Enoch 1:24 and 25, Enoch saw the tree of life on a journey to the ends of the earth, and it was planted on God's mountain throne. Okay, we see it again in the book of Revelation. And was marvelously beautiful and fragrant. Rabbinical tradition says and suggests that the tree of life was so tall that it required a 500-year journey to scale it. Okay? There are many in such texts from Judaism. Collectively, they tell us that the symbol of the tree of life powerfully evoked yearning for life and spiritual healing among ancient Jews, providing a biblical symbol that they readily embraced. John was in effect saying that the only way to the true tree of life is through Jesus Christ. The Spirit and the Bride say what? Come. And let him that hears say, come. Whoever is thirsty, let him come. And whoever wishes, let him take the free gift of the water of life. Okay? Warn everyone that hears these words of prophecy of this book, he says. If anyone adds anything to them, God will add to the plagues and described in this book. And if anyone takes words from this book of prophecy, God will take away from him his share in the what? Tree of life. And in the holy city, which are described in this book, he who testifies these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you, God, God's people. Amen. Now, that's a kind of an expanded thesis on the tree of life, okay? The tree of life was very, very important. There was cherubim. We're going to see the cherubim. All right? The cherubim's always plural. There's two of them at least. They guarded Adam and Eve from the tree of life with flaming swords. Okay? The tree of life is really important in the Bible. It is spoken of in Psalm 1 and Revelation 22, 17 through 21, Ezekiel 47, and in the book of Enoch. These are all scriptures that tell us that about the tree of life. Okay? About the tree of life. Now, look at your little drawing here that you have. Every truth in the Bible and false religion, how did the worship of Mary get started in churches? You remember? The Catholics invented Mariolatry, okay? Later on, they invented Mariolatry. Where did Mariolatry come from? You know?
Probably the Babylonian.
The Babylonian idea of Nimrod and his mother, okay? All right, that was the kind of the idea. Now, sometime, yes, brother.
Nimrod and his mother, I've never heard that.
Oh, you haven't? Okay, Nimrod and his mother, that's the idea of the Madonna and child. That's where it came from originally, okay? I think so. Nimrod, I can't remember right off the hand. Anyway, that's where it began, was the worship of Nimrod and his mother way back in the Babylonian times, okay? Now, sometimes things creep in from paganism into especially the Catholic Church, okay? But sometimes the truth is watered down. The Bible promises a Messiah to come, doesn't it? Well, Satan's going to have his Messiah called the Antichrist in the tribulation period, isn't he? Okay? Now, this wonderful tree of life, as you look at your drawing right here, the tree of life that's so important in the Bible, and no one will have eternal life without it. And who does the tree of life really represent?
Jesus.
That's who it represents, is Jesus. Okay? Now, here it says, and it has it in Hebrew. I wish I had a magnifying glass here so I could read this. Okay? It says Jehovah, Elohim on here. It says the Father. It says Eloha and Jehovah, Elohim. And it just gets on down here and it says Adonai at the bottom. See all of that? All of this represents. Now, if you look to the other page that I gave you, and very few of you have got it, this is a man. Okay? Now, Judaism turned the tree of life and the teaching about the tree of life into a total different worship system. This is what you call a Kabbalah. It's spiritualizing the scriptures, okay? And what is in the Kabbalah, it is a balance of life. Now, people ought to be balanced. In the Indian, American Indian religion, okay, that they how they sought their oneness with God and how that they lived a balanced life on Mother Earth, as they used to say, they would point to the north and they say, Lord, let me have wisdom and knowledge of you. Point to the east and they'd say, as the sun comes up, let me remember every day that anything I have in this world is worth having and anything that is provided in the world came from you. All right? As it turns south, they said, whatever I gather, help me to share it with my brothers and those in need. As they turn to the south and they turn to the west, and of course, west, what the color of west is always black, isn't it? Let me remember every day that I am mortal. Okay? And then they look up to the sky and say, there is where you dwell, Father. And then they touch the earth. And this is where you have placed us to take care of your earth. Not ours, but your earth. Now, that's basically somewhat what the Kabbalah teaches. And they took this. Now, you saw the tree of life there with its root system down below. And it was limbs up there. Now, if you look over here on this one, and I'll show this one up here to the camera, too. So let's see that out there. As you look at that, you'll see a man there. And on one side, it'll have grace. And the other side, it will have mercy. Or severity, that is, on one side, and mercy on the other. And it has the Hebrew words for it also. Mercy and severity. In other words, penalty and mercy. And it shows the father and the mother. All right? And it shows the white head of Jehovah Elohim. And we see even him in the book of Revelation, don't we? His hair was white as snow. All right? Well, all of this and everything in between, we have beauty and we have ugliness, we have victory and we have glory, and we have the kingdom of God down below. And what they're trying to do is to rationalize how they can live a balanced life. And in Buddhism, what do?
Find nirvana.
Yeah, find nirvana. And you meditate yourself into nirvana, don't you? Well, don't you? I mean, that's what they talk about. And in this, there is truth in meditation. We ought to meditate on the Lord. We ought to put ourselves in His hands and all that. But then you go too far into this mysticism and you just bypass the Lord. Almost all of the Kabbalah is one thing. It's the tree of life taken out and put it in balance and everything, and that's where they go with this. All right? And then they go into this, and in here is Britney Spears. There's different things, how you get into... She is a Kabbalist. All right. That studies the Kabbalah. Someplace in here you see the Indian mystics. Everything. It talks about all of this, how that they're all related in this divine worship and meditation. There's only one path, people.
What does that word mean, Kabbalah?
Kabbalah. That's the basically the secret teachings, the hidden teachings, all right, in Scripture.
What about when the Indians hung themselves by straps from their chest, pierced through their chest muscles until they went into...
That's the sun dance.
Things like that.
Yeah, what they would do that, and they would give their flesh to the sun pole to find out. Mainly why they did that is they wanted to find out what in the world were they going to do with a white man.
Anyway,
that's what was going on. That's what was going on when Custer attacked the villages up at the Little Big Horse.
Yeah.
It, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's just that was a sacrificial thing with the sun dance. That's different. There are people, you know, down in the Philippines that have themselves crucified and all that. Now, that's a total different story than what we're talking about here. Okay? What we're talking about here is going into trances. And they will meditate to get power. Okay? And almost every religion has something like that. Now, where do we get our power? From the Lord. From the Lord. It comes from the Lord. But when you get off so far that off the beaten path, or you turn some little biblical truth into a fantasy and mysticism, that's wrong, isn't it? We can never learn everything the Bible teaches. The tree of life is a real fact in the Bible. That tree of life, we're going to get to take from it. How many of you are going to eat from the tree of life? I am. Yeah. You know you're saved. You're going to get to touch this tree of life one of these days. We're going to get to see the tree of life, and it's a beautiful tree, all right. And it says it's for the healing of the nations. Everything. We're through eternal life. You're going to see Jesus one of these days. Yeah. That tree of life represents Him. When we taste of eternal life, we've taken from the tree of life, all right. But that tree of life really in the garden represented Him. They could have had eternal life. They could have sustained eternal life. They never would have had to die, but they went the wrong direction. All right? They went the wrong direction. Let's go back and look and see what 2 and 9 says. And God kept on, Jehovah God kept on causing to sprout from the ground every good tree. Every tree desirable, that looked good and good for food. And the tree of life. The tree of life. That tree of lives in the middle of the garden, and the tree of knowing good and evil. That tree of knowing good and evil. Now, there's been all kinds of fantasies about that. What are some of the theories of what this tree was? Well, some people thought it was Adam's apple. Remember the Adam's apple that stuck in his throat? That's what they used to call this a long time ago. And that Adam's apple was a tomato, they said. Did you know that? People a long time ago thought that fruit, that forbidden fruit, was a tomato. Do you know that people wouldn't eat tomatoes at all for a long, long time?
Never heard that.
Yeah? Marilyn, didn't your dad say in early part, now he was born in 1896,
yeah,
that a long time ago a lot of people wouldn't eat tomatoes because they thought they were poison. Well, tomatoes do come from a nightshade plant,
yeah,
deadly nightshade. All right. Now, what's another one? Marilyn, do you remember what...
Artichokes.
Okay. What else is another one of these forbidden fruits? How about the pomegranate? The pomegranate. A lot of people used to think the pomegranate is a real ancient fruit, and that the pomegranate was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. All right. Of the knowledge of good and evil. All right. Well, these are many, many things. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Ever since the garden, and that our father Adam partook of the tree of knowledge, we have been convicted of sin, righteousness, and judgment from that conviction, haven't we? And we know that we're wrong. And something draws us to God. For 1,656 years, the earth was watered like, as we drew a picture of it last week, where it was watered in a greenhouse. In fact, for 1,656 years, the earth was watered like that. But that's before the flood. Okay? 1,656 years, paradise was watered like that. All right. Genesis 2 and 10. Genesis 2 and verse 10. Man knows right from wrong today because he ate from this tree. Romans 1 said, man is convicted of sin and from all directions, inwardly and outwardly. From the Bible, we know that there is a God in Revelation, and from nature, we know that there is a God. There is not a people that's ever been lived in this world that ever were atheistic in their belief. They all believed in some kind of a God. All of them. 2 and 10. All right. V'nahar. Can you say that? V'nahar. As you look at that word, Yahtzee? That sounds just like Yahtzee, doesn't it? Have you ever played Yahtzee? All right, that's it. Yahtzee. Y-A-T-Z-E. All right. Yahtzee. Me-Aden. Me-Aden. All right. That means from Eden. And then Wi-Nahar. All right. It's what that word river comes from. All right. Lehashk kavot, or Lehashkot, is the next one. Can you say that? That's the next line. Next line down.
The long word.
Yeah, the long word.
What is it?
Lehashkot.
Lehashkot?
Yeah, Lehashkot. Got a T on the end of it. And then we have that word there. See that word? That's one right here. What's that? Et. Et, just like I edit already. All right, et. And then Hagan. Hagan. All right. And then we have another word here. Yumishan. Yumisham. Yumisham. Yip Pared. Bihaya. All right. That one there is related to Jehovah. See, it almost looks like Jehovah, doesn't it? What does that word mean? Became, all right? And then we have the word Li-ah-ba-ah, Li-ar-ba-ah, and then Rashem. Let's go back and look at this now. And river, going out from Delight. Have you ever heard of Delight, Arkansas? Huh? Everybody ever heard of Delight, Arkansas? Who was born in Delight, Arkansas? Glenn Campbell, all right? And my stepdad, Dusty. They were neighbors with the Campbells over there in Delight, Arkansas. Okay? Delight. Me'eden. Eden means delight. That's what it means. All right? From delight, men. Me'eden. From delight. To irrigate, or to cause to irrigate, to cause to flow and irrigate. Hifael. Infinitive construct. It means to give drink. This is where we talked about rivers and canals and aqueducts, okay? All right, this river going out of Eden or Delight to cause to irrigate, and then we have the sign of the direct object. That word et there. Hagan. Hagan. The garden. The garden. Now this river is gone to water the garden, okay? And then we have here Yumisham, and from there are from the monument. Shem is in this word, Shem. Remember Ham, Shem, and Japheth? Which ones would carry the name of Jehovah? Which children of Noah? Shem, name or monument. Here is where this word comes from, the root of it. And it says, Yumisham, all right? And from there, or from monument, Yipared, it was divided out, and it became, all right? Here's the word, what the word Jehovah comes from. Look at that word there and the word Jehovah. Very close resembling, because the word Jehovah has became in it. He who shall become. I want you to remember this constantly, for emphasis, all right? Vahaya is what it is. Wehaya or Vahaya, whichever way you want to say it. The Arba and four heads. Look at that word, four heads there. Rashim, all right? Four heads. Rosh means head. In Hebrew, Rosh is head, all right? Now, this river had four heads, or four, it's divided in four ways, all right? The river is divided in four ways. Now, let's go to the next verse, 2 and verse 11. 2 and verse 11. We have this word Shem again. Yes. The what?
The little T and under it.
Oh, those are vowel markings. I'm not even telling you about those because that's too complicated. I just ignore that right now. I throw a little bit of this in. I don't want to totally flounder you, okay, and just founder you. So I'm not telling you all this. That's vowel markings, okay? This little marking like that, that would give it an I, eh, sha, sha. All right. If you put one up here, that's sh, and over here is si. All right. That's two different ways. That's sin and shin. All right. Sin and shin. So we have here shem. See that first word there, shem. Ha e chad, ha e chad. And then pishon. Say pishon, pishon. All right. Who? Who? All right. Ha, has, so, vev. Ha, so, vev. Is that word? And then the next one. What is that word? Yeah. Et. All right. And then the next one?
Call.
All right. See, you're starting to see these words now. I mean, regardless. I mean, you're going to run on to them. And then we have the word Eretz. What is Eretz? That's the land. All right. Eretz. And then we have Ha-Cha-Vila. Ha-Cha-Vila. Esher. Sham. Ha-Za-Za-Ha. All right. Now let's go back and look at this. Name or monument? Name. Okay, name. Shem means name, doesn't it? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. All right. Name of the first. Pishon. This is the rivers now. The rivers. Pishon. All right. Rivers Pishon. He is flowing, surrounding, the surrounding. All right. The surrounding. Haso Vev. The surrounding. Et. Sign of the direct object. All land. All the land of Havilah. Havilah. Havilah means like, it's almost like Galilee. It means circle, but it also means gold. Just think about it. It means gold. Gold. Havilah. We have a little town up here by Isabella called. Yeah, there used to be the county seat of Kern County. It was Havilah. All right, that's where the Kern County seat was at one time. And what was in Havilah?
Gold.
All right, the gold was in Havilah. Okay, so Havilah. That's it. Ha Chavala. All right. Asher. There's another word you're going to see a whole lot. Asher. Shem or Sham. Sham. There was gold there. There was there the gold. All right. The gold. Hazahav. Hazahav, that's gold. See, Havilah comes from Hazabah. Okay, which means gold. That's the root of it. All right, the root of it. So in that land there was much gold. All right, and Brother Hubbard used to say this was close to the Indian Ocean, the rivers. Now, it says the Phasis, the Araxes, the Bezay, the Zegna, the Indus, the Ganges, the Hyphasis, the Nile, and the Gushap. These are all different rivers, ancient rivers. Now, remember, As we look at the world, here's that bubble around the earth, which the ocean was in the sky. Here's the earth itself. At this time, for 1,656 years, the earth was watered this way. And in this land, the earth here, the land part of it, there was rivers. There was the rivers that went throughout the land and irrigated the land. The plants were irrigated from the mist, from the skies. No rain yet, okay? And from the fountains below are what we call springs. How many of you ever been at the headwaters of spring? Up when you were up there by, what was the name of that place you spent there? Well, not that. The other place up there that's cold up there above Bishop, way up there.
Oh.
Bridgeport. Now, if you go up there and out there in places, you go back in the mountains and you're going to see where water runs out of the ground.
Yeah.
It just runs out of the ground. If you go back up in the canyons, back up in the White Mountains, there will be cold places where you can go up there to a creek and the water just runs, begins right here and just runs out and there's a creek flowing out of the ground right there. You'll see water.
River in Central Oregon, the big old pretty river comes right out of a rock, black rock.
Yeah. This runs out of the ground. That's the way these rivers did. Now, and then they divided. Okay. Now at this time we don't have any trouble. We talked about last week to where they couldn't have done this, they couldn't have done that. This couldn't have been that river. This couldn't have been that river. But right here, the earth was not divided yet. So the earth was a different topography. The earth was totally different than it would be later. All right? So the rivers could have been the Ganges and the Nile and all of it could have been close together. These could have been part of this river at that time. Now, this the San Joaquin Valley that we live in right here, in this part of it right here, they say at one time this was underwater. You know, there's Shark's Teeth out here and Shark's Tooth Mountain and everything else. When the earth was divided, this could have been in the ocean. And when God divided, he lifted up the ground as he divided the earth. That's very easy. We know that today because of the San Joaquin Valley fog that just hangs in this valley, the smog that hangs in the valley. It's like a bowl in here. But at one time, evidently, this was ocean bottom. But as God divided the earth and divided the continents and everything else, this probably came up out of the ocean bottom. All right? All of what happened right here, later on, as you look at a globe, you see where the earth was pulled apart. All right. 2 and verse 12. Yuzahav. Can you say that? Yuzahav. Now write this down if you want to. I'll go slow for you. Yuzahav. Ha-aretz. What's aretz?
Earth.
Okay. Ha heath. Ha heath. Say that one. Ha heath. Tov. Tov is what? Good. All right. Sham. Sham. Remember that name or there or place or monument. Okay. And then ha vi dolach. All right. And then vi e then. That means stone. And the ha shaham. All right. Here we have. And there was gold. Remember that word? U zahav. Then there's gold in the land. The land that being ha hiv. Good. Very good gold. Good gold. What kind of gold? 24 karat. All right. Good gold in that land. Well, it says here, the Lord said it was tov. Tov. Remember that word tov right there. That's good. All right. This earth, I think, many Bible scholars believe that the earth was, the diamonds in the earth, at one time, that they were just strewn for beauty. Rubies. Gold was for beauty. Gold for beauty. There was much gold in the land, and diamonds and rubies and sapphires and all the things that you have today. I think that God decorated this planet with them at one time. Decorated the planet with them. It said the land being good, that gold being good there, Sham. And then we have the word bdellium. Bdellium. and stone the onyx, all right, or the carnelian, as they say today. What color is carnelian? Carnelian. Flesh-colored. Okay, flesh-colored. Carnelian. All right, carnelian, flesh-colored. Flesh-colored stone. Now in the New Jerusalem, is there going to be a carnelian foundation to that city? Remember the different kinds of colors that are in the walls and the foundation of that city. Look in what you have here in the Garden of Eden. It goes all the way back into the garden. The beauty. What are the gates going to be made out of in New Jerusalem? Pearls. One piece pearls. Beautiful pearl colored. All right. Beautiful color, pearl colored. Well, we'll go to 2:14 now. 2:14. 2:13, I mean. 2:13. The Shem. Okay. Ha Nahar. Ha Shem. All right. Ha Shani, I mean. Ha Shani. I goofed. Ha Shani. Gi Cho'on. Gi Cho'on. Gi Cho'on. Hu. Ha So Vand. Ha So Vev. And et?
Yep, that's right.
You don't need me to read that, do you? That word, coal, and then what's the next word? Aritz, and then Cush. Cush. All right. Now it says, and name the river, the second, was Gihon, or Gihon. All right. We have Gihon, and he is, this river, he is, or this is, encircling Hasoven, Hasovev, Hasovev, encircling, surrounding. Remember the word Havilah also meant encircling. It's circling around at all Eretz, all the land of Cush. Now, what's the land of Cush today? Ethiopia. So at one time here we have Ethiopia all over here and with one piece of land. So we have the Middle East, we have Ethiopia, we have Africa, and everything is one piece of land. Okay? One piece of land. We don't have continents yet. This is before. This is way back yonder. We're here, people. Right in this period of time, right here. That we're talking about. Right there. And then we have the curse of death, and we're going to be in here. And then here comes the, for 1,656 years, God watered the earth like we have right here. Do you have any questions about this? Are you learning a little bit about this stuff? I mean, I'm not trying to founder you with all this stuff, but there's a lot of information in here. A lot of information. All right. Bisham ha nahar ha shani. Gihon, Hu, Ha, Sobev, Et, Kol, Eretz, Cush. All right. And the name of the river, the second, Gihon, and he is the one encircling all the land of Cush. All right. All the land of Cush. The Garden of Eden, Brother Hubbard used to tell me that the Garden of Eden was probably near the Persian Gulf.
Page 6. Wasn't it in Iraq?
All of that. Page 6. I got to read this to you here.
Why is the tree upside down you gave us?
Okay, that's the Jewish idea of it, okay? Now, I need to read this to you here. Genesis, the name Eden may have had one of two origins, the Sumerian word Eden, which means steep or open field, and the identical Semitic word, which means what? Delight or beauty, luxury. The scripture Eden is not only the name of the garden in which the first humans resided, but also a metaphorical representation of the garden that was planted by Jehovah. Okay? Eden's precise location remains a mystery in Genesis 2 and 8. That we were talking about tonight. and it goes on and says the land of Cush and the different rivers. It says others identify Cush as the land of the Kassites east of the Tigris, also known as Cush during ancient times. This theory makes better geographical sense. Finally, still other scholars position that the Gihon or the Pishon were canals or tributaries of the Tigris and the Euphrates. I read a little of this to you last week. Another challenge is determining the relationship of the four rivers to the single river flowing through the watered Eden. And it talks about that these lands couldn't have been, but the earth wasn't divided yet. Okay, the earth wasn't divided yet. It says, this supposition positions a problem, however, that the Tigris and the Euphrates lack a common source. Like we were talking about where rivers sometimes just come out of the ground. All right, the river flowing, and actually all the sources of the rivers is who? God. God. God is the source of all the rivers. Okay. That's where we're going to give up for tonight. Do you have any questions? We'll start next week at 2 and 14. I know that some of you are beginning to recognize Hebrew words. We're not really here to learn so much Hebrew as we are to learn a lot of Bible. That's the main point. But I know that you're beginning to recognize some of the Hebrew words. Tov, you're going to see a lot. That's good. That means even spiritually good. Kol means all. Elohim, Jehovah, Men, Et. All right, these are all Shem, name, monument. Well, these are all words that we're going to get. And as you see these, then when you see your Bible and you read these names, your Bible is going to mean more to you than they ever did before. All right? You ready to go out and do something eternal? Are you ready? All right. Got any questions? No questions, Brother John? Are you learning a little bit?
Yeah.
Are you beginning to recognize a few Hebrew words?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Brother Mike?
Only... I'm not that everybody else. I don't understand Hebrew words. I only understand, like, if it says earth in English underneath it, I know it's
Aretz. Okay, pretty soon you're going to be able to recognize it. Brother Randall.
I don't have time to look at
this. You studied the Hebrew alphabet in another class and learned how to Hebrew alphabet and everything else. Now, as you study the Bible and you start putting it together, you begin to see the words. And even later on, if you buy one of these Hebrew Bibles like I showed you last week or whatever, where it's an interlinear is real good for people that only know a little bit of Hebrew, okay? Interlinear kind of keeps you straight a little bit. Now, the interlinears aren't perfect, okay? So that's why I'm teaching you the names and the real roots of these words, okay? Well, we'll start at 2 and verse 14 next week, all right? And talk about more of the rivers in the Garden of Eden that are watering the Garden of Eden, all right? Anything before? Remember our prayer requests that we've had? Brother Randall, will you dismiss us in prayer, brother?